It is National Geographic World Talk. I'm Peter Laufer with geologist Tjørborn Tornquist from his office at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Tjørborn, before we start to talk about your recent find off the Louisiana coast in the Gulf of Mexico, I want to ask you a question about a pretty horrible movie, I guess, I saw on an airplane a couple of weeks ago that I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely. Are you talking about The Day After Tomorrow?
Of course, because you're a climate specialist. And
Yeah. And
in a way, it was a horrible movie. In another way, there were some terrific special effects, weren't there?
There were. It was definitely very entertaining. Actually, I have a kind of a funny story about it because by quite some coincidence, I actually saw that movie while doing fieldwork in Louisiana last May when it came out, and we actually saw it in the town of New Iberia, Louisiana. We were staying there at the time, and as it happens, it's about as close to our study area as you can be, so that's where we actually saw that movie.
That's terrific. Now, that movie must be priceless for a geologist who specializes in climate to watch.
Well, you know, you watch it with somewhat mixed feelings because, of course, the movie is taking things totally out of proportion. And it's the interesting thing is the idea behind the movie is clearly based on true scientific findings. Many of which relate very closely to our own findings we've made recently.
But,
yeah, it's really blown out of proportions. And there are several aspects of the story that have nothing to do with reality at all, like the tornadoes in L.A., for instance. That has absolutely nothing to do with the scientific basis that kind of underlies the whole thing.
Now, for those in the audience who aren't familiar with the movie, basically it suggests that climate change is so severe based on global warming that the northern hemisphere is inundated in severe weather and flooding. And for me, because I do a lot of work regarding immigration issues, especially immigration from Mexico, for me, the priceless scene is...
I agree.
Yes.
That was absolutely fantastic. I thought that was the best part of the whole movie.
No question. When all these Americans were trying to get into Mexico and
Yeah.
were being blocked at the border and having to sneak into Mexico, it was an amazing
scene.
That's
right. That was pretty hilarious, yeah.
But let's get back to your scientific work now. And before, again, that we get to what you discovered in the Gulf of Mexico, is the basic premise for the movie, or is the concern that we see popularized now that global warming could be catastrophic, is that a real concern in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly not something we expect within perhaps a few decades or something like that. But it is an issue of major concern because, you know, by now the climate scientists all agree that there will be global warming in the future. The discussion is really about how much. But the real big wild card, if you will, is this issue of the possibility of abrupt climate change that might go in a totally different direction than what you might expect. And the reason for this concern is that many recent studies have shown that such very abrupt climate changes have occurred in the past.
And where do you fall on this issue, Tjørborn Tornquist? Do you side with those who fear relatively abrupt climate change and who don't know whether it'll be too hot or too cold, or do you have your own theories?
Well, I don't think I necessarily have theories that are very much of my own or different from the mainstream. My expectation would be that in the relatively near future of the next couple of decades, that it's very likely that warming will continue. But at the same time, I feel that it's absolutely essential that we get a better understanding of how and under what conditions this very abrupt climate change can happen, because that is something that will be even more difficult to cope with compared to steady continuing warming, because it could happen over a fairly short time, and it could really upset significant parts of the of the Earth.
And a relatively short time, meaning what?
Well, it's certainly not the same time scale as in the movie. We talked about that is, of course, another aspect that is really taken out of proportion. But we know from detailed climate records that it may be possible that abrupt cooling could happen in a matter of a couple of years or maybe something like a decade. So well within the lifespan of a human being. And that is obviously something that is something we have to worry about.
Now, geologist Torbjörn Tornquist, what is it that you discovered down there in the Gulf that helps you analyze all of this and put it into perspective?
Well, what we discovered was we work in the Mississippi Delta, and we study sea level change there over the last 8,000 years or maybe a little bit more. And the reason we work on that is that sea level change is a huge problem in that particular area. And last year in 2003, we, a little bit by coincidence, we found a few samples that indicate sea level positions in the past in the subsurface. We basically work with drill cores, and those samples turned out to be about 8,200 years old. And 8,200 is a little bit of a magic number in our field nowadays, because we know that about 8,200 years ago, there was one of these very abrupt climate changes, actually the most recent of these very abrupt climate changes.
And this was at the end of the last ice age, and what was the abrupt climate change that occurred?
Well, it was technically even after the last ice age, because the general conditions at that time were not very different from the conditions today. But around 8,200 years ago, there was a very abrupt cooling, especially in the North Atlantic area, which might have been as much as almost 10 degrees Fahrenheit over that lasted for maybe a few centuries. So clearly a very dramatic change for probably a significant part of the Northern Hemisphere.
And how do you know that?
Well, that has been found back in the 90s, especially by studies of ice cores from Greenland. Greenland has this big ice sheet, and other scientists have drilled cores all the way down to the bottom. This ice contains indicators of temperatures in the past and can provide very detailed reconstructions, and those have shown very clearly that 8,200 years ago there was this rapid cooling.
And do you have a sense of the cause for that rapid cooling?
Yeah, it's actually a very pretty spectacular story. And this is something that wasn't really fully understood at the time, but later on other teams made a connection between that abrupt cooling and the catastrophic drainage of a huge ice dammed lake that was located mostly in Canada, but partly in the United States, North Dakota, Minnesota, in part. It's called Lake Agassiz, and it was basically a big, huge freshwater lake consisting of meltwater from that big ice sheet that was basically melting away, and it was kind of retreating to the north. And that meltwater couldn't all get away. It was kind of trapped in front of the ice, but finally, of course, at some point it had to give, and it turns out that right before that 8,200 year ago point, it basically broke through Hudson Bay into the North Atlantic Ocean, and that lake had a water volume that is more than twice the volume of the Caspian Sea, so it was an enormous amount of freshwater that catastrophically drained into the North Atlantic Ocean. Now, the question then, of course, is what has that to do with climate?
Well, right, and why did that then suppress the temperature?
That's exactly the key point. And why that happened was that the North Atlantic area is kept warm by the Gulf Stream that flows along the Atlantic coast here to the north, and then it kind of crosses over the Atlantic towards Northwest Europe. And somewhere in the area near Iceland, a lot of that Gulf Stream water sinks to the bottom, and then it flows back to the south again across the bottom off the Atlantic Ocean. Now, the reason that that happens is that Atlantic water is very salty, and salty seawater is a little bit more dense than average ocean water. So as a result, in that area where it cools down and it's very salty, it has a higher density and it sinks to the bottom. And that is a very important part of the entire ocean circulation system around the world, basically. And it basically makes sure that the Gulf Stream extends very far north, and that's basically what keeps Northwest Europe relatively mild, because the Gulf Stream is relatively warm, and it kind of brings relatively mild temperatures to these areas. Now, what happens if you suddenly dump a lot of fresh water in that area? What's going to happen is that it's going to be less salty, and as a result, the water is less dense, and it won't sink anymore.
And it requires a whole lot more hot chocolate to stay warm in Sweden.
That's right.
You're listening to National Geographic World Talk. I'm Peter Laufer with geologist Thorbjørn Tornquist. Now, how does that relate to your findings in the Gulf of Mexico? Why are those findings so important?
Well, they are important because although there is an enormous interest in this 8.2 event, that's the kind of the technical term people use for it.
The 8.2 event is what occurred 8,200 years ago.
That's right. That's that rapid and dramatic cooling. There is one thing we don't really know very well, and that is how much meltwater was actually released into the North Atlantic Ocean. And that's where sea level change comes into the picture, because the best way to try to measure that is to try to determine how much sea level rise was there around 8,200 years ago. Because the neat thing about sea level is that enormous amount of water that was suddenly dumped into the ocean, it should be possible to measure that amount of sea level rise anywhere on Earth, as long as you can find a suitable coastal area where you can actually find these samples of that age. And that's what we ran into working in the Mississippi Delta, and in that respect, it was kind of coincidence.
Well, it's a terrific coincidence. Now, will this information you're developing help you as you study current, contemporary climate change?
Yeah, it certainly will, because the people who are probably going to be most interested in our finding, what our main finding is that we now know that the amount of sea level rise around 8,200 years ago was very likely less than 4 feet. The people who are most interested in this information are climate modelers, people who try to really analyze climate change as a result of all kinds of boundary conditions. Like in this case, what's really of main importance is the amount of fresh water that was dumped into the ocean. That's something climate modelers don't really know, how sensitive that ocean circulation system is to that type of changes.
So, for example, if we're having severe melting of the polar ice caps in our immediate future or even right now, then we're talking about freshwater dump into the ocean.
That's exactly right. And the big concern right now is Greenland. Because, of course, we don't have a Lake Agassiz at this moment, so we're not going to have something happen that is exactly like the situation 8,200 years ago. But we do have the Greenland Ice Sheet, which is located exactly in that North Atlantic region that we know is so very sensitive.
So it could have the same kind of implications to the winter climates, for example, in northwestern Europe.
That's right. We want to know what might happen if the Greenland ice sheet would start melting more rapidly, something that is very well possible if we get further global warming.
And then it's what? Bye-bye the Netherlands.
My home country is going to be one of the first victims, and maybe that's one of the reasons I'm so concerned about this.
And we're acting a bit jocular here and flip, but this is potentially critical stuff. Where do you fall on the political and cultural aspects of what you're learning? Do you think that we need to take climate change seriously and be working toward suppressing the amount of greenhouse gases that we are creating as a civilization and spewing out into the air?
Well, there is absolutely no question to me that this needs to be taken much more seriously than it is being taken right now. And let me give one example. The main science advisor in the United Kingdom, he actually made a statement quite recently this year where he said that global climate change is a bigger problem than global terrorism. And unfortunately, I think he has a very strong point. And this is not meant to downplay the danger of global terrorism.
Of course.
But it is a huge problem, and the way it's being handled right now, unfortunately, in particular in this country, is very, very worrying, because we are basically in the process of doing an experiment with our planet with an unknown outcome. And, you know, you can sometimes do that type of thing, but in this case, we only have one planet Earth, and we are not in a position to just say, like, well, let's see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, we move to Mars or something like that.
No question. Geologist Tjørborg Tornquist, this is a conversation that we should continue because, obviously, it's important to all of us, as you just explained. And we appreciate you taking time today to join us here on National Geographic World Talk.
Thank you.
You're listening to National Geographic World Talk from PRI, Public Radio International.
T-shirts, McDonald's, mobile telephones. Just how bad is so-called Western civilization for the rest of the world? Next, we check in with National Geographic explorer-in-residence Wade Davis to talk about disappearing cultures.